Support this podcast at patreon.com/rednews.
Right, hello everyone, it's Red News Podcast 93, and we've got a full house tonight, and it's not an insult to them or any of you lot, but I've not wanted to do this at all. I just feel a bit glum about everything, really, and I just wanted United to lift us, like I said, after Paris, and it was great when they were, and it's mad to think it's only eight days since Leipzig, but we're just so inconsistent under Ollie. And I would say, I think I'm taking United a bit too seriously at the moment. We all do, of course, but it's there to be a distraction. And sometimes, like, I was so gutted after Arsenal that it just affects my mood. And I think it's doing that a bit too much at the moment. So it's just making me, it's not being the release. And it's complicated, obviously, but I read someone on Twitter, someone saying to someone who'd suggested that, saying, you need to lighten up and put it to one side if it's doing that to you. And I'm trying, because it's not good or healthy. Summed up by half time, or around about half time, we got a text off my boy's school saying there's cases at the school. So this is when I'm already feeling low from football kicking in the bollocks to real life, saying he's got to self-isolate. We're all okay, but it's just been one of those weeks, really. And I've wanted calm. I feel like we pinball from, you know, we're high last podcast, we were low the one before that, we're low again today, and I want to get away from that. But maybe that is just indicative of where we are under Ollie. We are just such an inconsistent. We go on a good run, then we get a kick in the bollocks. And I'm sorry, I've got to say it one more time, the breathing space that I keep mentioning, and we're back to square one, where you feel if we don't win on Saturday, we'll Ed pull the trigger. But let's be honest, you know, the Glazers are the fault lines to all this, but they weren't responsible for that shambolic defending yesterday. And I was stunned watching it. I've watched it about, I usually watch our goals about 30 times. I actually watched their goal about 30 times to believe what I'd seen, because, I mean, and yeah, that's not coaching, you know, that's the players, but there's no leaders, there's no defensive leaders. I'm tired and sapped of watching Luke Shaw not track back and his man, and he'll get picked against Everton. So someone's got to lift me up. I'm going to go to Nick first, because he's usually the positive spirit here. But I fear for Ollie, but we've got to, you know, let's cut to the chase. If we're like this in a month or 6 weeks, then he's not going to survive. And will he be worthy of it? But I'm sick and tired of having this conversation. So Nick first.
Where do you want me to start? Because I haven't got very many positives.
Please, something.
the only thing I can think of is that this is pretty much what we are under Ole. You know, if you're looking for some sort of string of optimism, you know, we lose a few absolute shockers, and then we could go easily on the bounce, can't we? And we could go on and win the island. It's just kind of how we are as a team. You know, like you said, we're very, very inconsistent about it. You know, I've always said that if Ole could get us playing at home, then, you know, we've got the makings of a team. But when you go away to, you know, a Turkish team, you think we really should be going there and winning with the side we put out. You know, I think you look at the team that we put out there last night, and I think I was actually quite happy with the squad selection. I thought, you know, we'd been harking on about Tuanzebe. He was brilliant against Neymar and Mbappe. And you thought, great to see him get some minutes and get selected. I was thinking Mata, you know, for example, when we're losing away at home to Arsenal last week, I think it was crying out for someone like him. It was quite a slow game. You're thinking maybe bring him on. I was excited to see him last night. You know, Donny as well, shown some flashes, and they just didn't really quite get going. It was just a really flat, uninspiring performance that had been back-to-back. But That's the thing. I mean, I was happy with the outfield selection. I thought it was weird that Henderson started. I'm sure, obviously, Ole's got to think that he's got to get him into a few games this season. That's all I can think of. Well, I think for me, he should have that second goal. You can talk about how bad the defending was for the first goal, but that second goal was straight at him, and I think De Gea saves it. In terms of positives, the only thing I can think of is we could easily go and beat Everton this weekend. I know they're a very good side, but I think they're going to come out and they're going to attack us, and that's going to suit us, especially being away from home. So, you know, I think the only string of positive I've got is that I still think we'll win on Saturday. That's about it.
They've been dreadful. So, you know, they're not the team that started the season. But, Nick, you know, we kept saying we had to make, and obviously didn't get backed. You know, we finished third. You make then improvements. Other teams match us. But we're not if you don't improve on last season and you tread water, then what's the point? And we had to start this season well. Jav, Shane, Ben, it's coming up as muted. Is that your... Oh, well, I'm going to go to Jav. Jav, hello. I'm not going to ask you about how you're coping with missing games, because obviously it's going to be very tough for someone who does them all. But how are you about United, mate?
It's a bit like life in general at the moment. It's just a roller coaster. I don't mean highs and lows of emotions. It's a roller coaster of performances. I think towards the end of last season, when we came back after the break, we put in some really good shifts. It was very, very reminiscent of when Ollie first came in, and then just back towards the back end, we just seemed to go off the boil. And I think we started this term quite well, but all of a sudden, so we're back up on a high, and then the Tottenham game, and it starts to look a bit, you've seen this happen before over the last couple of seasons with the players. It just seems a bit flat. And I thought after the Paris game and the Leipzig game, I said, bang, let's do the podcast. We've got some positives. And then I saw a lot of similarities with the Arsenal game and the Chelsea game. And I was saying this to Storky the week up to the Chelsea game. I don't know if it's COVID and without having the home fans in, the referees don't feel the pressure, but you seem to get a lot more funny away results. And our form just seems to be so much better away. And I was saying to Storky, I think maybe the tactic is sit back at home and hit them on the break. And I think against Chelsea, that's sort of what we did, but we cancelled each other out and ended up boring 0-0 draw. And I think we were heading the same way against Arsenal until my favourite player, Pogba, made a bit of a horrendous mistake. And if I'm looking for any positives from last night, it was a Pogba didn't start the game, so I couldn't absolutely cape him again. So I had to try and find another scapegoat. I'm with Nick. I fully expect us to beat Everton on Saturday. Because that's just the way we've been. And maybe go on and run a 2 or 3 games, and it all sort of quietens down a bit, and then all of a sudden there'll be another 2 or 3 dismal performances. And
we've got to move on from that, though, Jav. We can't keep doing this.
No, it's soul destroying, especially with everything else that's going on in the world. And as much as I want Ollie to succeed, and I really, really do, I just can't see it happening. Questions we're asking the family, is it the player's fault? Is it Ollie's fault? Other than my favourite player, Popper, obviously, I think it's as much the players as it is Ollie. And I just can't see it working out, but I desperately want it to work out for me, so I think it's got to happen.
I think we all do. I just think it's top to bottom. The whole thing's polluted, and when you try and get a bit of, you know, the decency of Ollie, but he's out of his depth. And I sometimes go back to what Fabio said, where is he too nice? I do think, you know, the home fans, I do think we could make somewhat of a difference, but you can't, it feels like every game he's saying it, and you come on, Ollie, you can't just keep saying it. And it would make an impact at some point, but not every game. And I'm tired of the players coming out. Who was it on? Well, I didn't think, trying to move away from the Pogba thing, but his thing was criminal on Sunday. But when he came out, I didn't think he really cared afterwards in the MUTV interview. It was almost like an obligatory, he has to say sorry. But he said, you know, the commitment and the discipline. And I thought, well, we were saying that a year ago. We were saying that 2 years ago, the player's attitude. Right, yeah. Ben?
Very little positivity I can offer, I'm afraid. To me, it's got a bit of an end of days feel now with him. I think it's getting to that stage, and personally, I would say that I've lost faith at this point that he's going to turn it round. I mean, I think it's just constantly one step forward, two steps back, isn't it? And I can't really see what progress is being made, what the playing style is, which players is improving, and increasingly, you know, the post-match interviews are starting to really worry me. It just looks like he's not got the answers. I'm not as confident as Nick and Jav about Saturday. I can easily see us getting beaten there, and I think if we do, that could be the end of him. Obviously, there's been stuff leaked to the press today, hasn't it, about Pochettino, which I don't think will surprise anyone. He's kind of making himself available again. He's in the country, saying he wants work, and it's not going to cost him anything. I don't think Ollie'd be on a huge contract like Mourinho was in terms of that payout either. So I think it'd be an easy decision for them to make. And if it doesn't happen this weekend, I'm convinced it will happen by Christmas. So,
how can we go from Leipzig, a good team, you know, a team who are going to push, probably finish second to Bayern, a good team. How can we plan for that? We did a good plan that game. We held on, you know, then get one and then see how the game progresses. And then how can we go to that last night? Coggy?
I think the Leipzig result flattered us slightly. I mean, it was great, but a 5-0, I mean, they just capitulated in the last 15 minutes and we got those three goals. I think 2-0 may have been a far better result. But Ben and Shane have been saying for some time now that Ollie will get us to a certain level. We don't think he's the man to get us to win championships or trophies or anything. And I do agree with the lads. And I think Ollie has moved us from the Mourinho days. But I don't think now he can take us that step further. I agree with what Ben said. I see no shape. I don't know what formation that Ollie thinks is his best formation. I think if he knew his best formation, I'm not convinced he knows the best 11 players to play in there. And that's why we're getting the inconsistencies. We're swapping the players about, swapping the formation about. Last night, and I understand the need to rest players, but last night they've had two holding midfield players. I know it's only against some team that, you know, is younger than me, but that's what works for us at the moment, and it works for us at the moment because our two central defenders generally, you know, are not particularly good, and one of them, well, both of them, if it's Lindelof and Maguire, lack pace. So I think he made too many changes. Now, I'm aware that it's because we've got Everton at lunchtime. I'm with Ben. Can't see us winning on Saturday. I think we'll get roughed up by Everton, particularly, you know, their forward line. But I think now Ollie's taken us from Jose. We've got rid of some deadwood. We have got some good players. Our squad is better than they were performing. But I don't think Ollie can take us any further. And I'm disappointed in myself to actually be thinking that, because I want him to succeed, but, you know, and it's not just last night's results. I think it's the performance against Chelsea, the performance against Brighton, Crystal Palace, the back end of last season, some of those performances, Chelsea in the Cup, etc. I just think now maybe we need a fresh impetus to bring them up to the next level. The players don't help, by the way. Some of them are, you know, Shaw and Cogman in particular, I think are disgraceful.
Yeah, well, one thing, Manchester United are a younger team than you, Coggy, aren't they? But, sorry, a little bit of light. But the thing, you learn your lessons, and if you start last season badly, then you've got to do everything, you know, in your power. And then is it worth, we all want a trophy, but if he was willing to sacrifice Chelsea in the Cup semi, which we all felt gutted about, then you also almost have to think, if he knew that this season was starting from a clinical position, what is your best opportunity? Then you target the league and say, maybe I'll rest a few players. You know, how can Fernandes be dipping this badly? Is that coaching? Is that knackered? Is it the rhythm? Is it the lack of confidence the team are going for? And I don't think, we all want Ollie to succeed. Everyone, you know, the emotion of it. Someone accused me of being emotional about it, but that's what United is. We are emotional. That's what football fans should be like. But we're not stupid. I don't think anyone would go, you know, you don't persevere with this if it carries on to oblivion. Shane? So I'm just going to pop out quickly, mate. Carry on.
So I think, it's been said by the others, and I think you're right, Bunny. It's kind of fucked at all levels, as we know. And I think, you know, I think we said before, if you've got boards and owners that are kind of setting merely getting top four as our strategy, you're not going to push on and challenge for a title. But equally, the way I see it, particularly the Arsenal and Chelsea games, you know, Ole seemed really, really scared to lose those games and such set us up defensively. And I think if he's under pressure and he's so fearful of losing games, he sets us up like that, there's a good chance we're not going to win them. So that kind of, it sort of self-perpetuates. But then again, last night, as Nick said, I looked at the lineup and thought, well, actually, it's a bit more positive, it's more attacking. And it backfired because it exposed the defence. So it's, you know, he's damned if he does and damned if he doesn't. And I think, you know, so his tactics are questionable. And I think, to me, he looked like he's scared now. Probably, you know, those defensive playing at home against Arsenal, I was with the Roy Keane, but they're not as good at being made out. And to play that negatively against Arsenal, I thought was a big chance missed. And then the players are not doing their part. You know, like last night, whatever the coaching is going on, that sort of first goal was just comical. And you kind of think, where's someone on the pitch? Where's the initiative? Like, I don't want to pick on Maguire again, but Maguire's a captain and he's a centre-back. He should be telling someone to be in position. Matic is Matic that's the furthest player back. It was way, way off Jemba Bar. Like, Jemba Bar, as my son said, he's nearly as old as me. And, like, you know, he's kind of outstripping our defenders and, you know, making them look daft. It's ridiculous, you know. He's a Premier League has-been. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think, and it's hard to fathom. I know Coggy, the sort of Leipzig game was maybe did flatter us, but PSG, we kind of outplayed them, I thought. You know, we played really well.
Yeah.
And that's a roller coaster. But I just think the Chelsea, Arsenal, and last night, the worrying thing for me, it looks to me a bit like he's lost the players a bit. And I think that's the sign that I think that when the players are starting to lose faith in their manager, that's the start of the end.
There were baffling decisions. Yeah. You think with, you know, like Dan James has been out of form for a good while now. To put him in against Chelsea, I just thought was weird. You know, that is not that. You put him in at another moment to see if he's going to regain some of the form that we saw. But the player, you know, we can't keep saying, oh, the players. I mean, I was so embarrassed, that car crash, watching it like a car crash. I wouldn't have any of the fucking defenders in against Everton that conceded that goal. I mean, I'd like to hear that they were scrapping about that, because that makes you, the whole world was laughing about that. That is a meme. I mean, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, can I just say about that, though? I mean, it was a corner to us. So our central defenders go, as you would expect them to, and we played short. So that straight away puts us in a vulnerable position. And I just think, and wrongly so, I just think Matic didn't realise there was anybody behind him, because Matic was actually advancing forward. As our last man, he was advanced foot. I'm pretty sure he thought there was nobody behind him.
Coggy, I'm not asking that he's a pigeon, but for fuck's sake, you have vision around you.
The other thing is, Barney, why is Matic one of the slowest players in the team? Our last man for defending against the corner. You know, he should have been somebody like Shaw or Wan-Bissaka or something like that. They should have been back.
It wouldn't surprise me if it was Shaw, and he's so fucking slow. He was still running back from the previous attack going forward. But
you said it, Coggy, that we put every player forward and then played it short and fanned it about in the corners like we were playing out the final whistle. It was just the whole thing from start to finish was farcical. So, I think it just seems a bit in disarray to me. But I hope the lads are right. Okay, so I haven't got a clue if we beat Everton or lose to Everton, because I think at the moment you might have to just close your eyes and pin the tail on the donkey, and it's kind of like what you randomly get United result.
But I mean, that goal that, you know, you've just been talking about, you know, anyone who's played football at any level, I've never seen or played in a team that's conceded a goal like that, because even at amateur schoolboy level, you know, you keep a man back and you talk to each other. The lack of communication was just outstandingly bad. And I mean, I wouldn't mind, but the stadium was empty. You know, it's not like there was 50,000 screaming Turks in there. You know, any of the coaching staff or Ollie himself should have been screaming at somebody to get back. And, you know, it was absolutely laughable. And, you know, it's worrying, isn't it?
It goes back to the coaching staff, you know, that we're worrying about the lack of impetus with Phelan. You know, we've heard that he's not particularly, not a close bond with Ollie. McKenna, we always heard whispers that some of the players weren't that impressed. Carrick, there are multiple reports that Carrick is doing well and he's being well noticed at other clubs saying he's doing well. But you wonder, the thing for the Chelsea game, I've got notes because we've not, it feels fucking a day at United, it feels like a month. So I've forgotten, but I made notes after Chelsea that Evra was going. Evra said, you know, and he can play up to the gallery sometimes, but he said after the game, this worries me because of the momentum we've built and we've blown it. And, you know, and what worried me then was Cavani. Now, Keane was ranting about how he looked off the pace and not you know, but Cavani had two touches against Chelsea and both looked like, oh, there's someone who knows where the goal is. And then when you expect the Alamo, we didn't then get it to him afterwards. And so these worries have been building. You know, I'm saying pinball, but these aren't new, you know, like, and the thing, and I get, you know, we can't absolve Woodward and the Glazers, but it's almost you throw everyone into the mix. Jav.
Sorry?
Go on, just have a rant or whatever, or give us a bit of hope.
Listen, you know, I can have a rant part. I mean, just going back to that first goal. So I've been working away and I got back to the hotel and I got one or two IT issues and I just got my laptop started, VPN, watching it on the webcast, and the first thing I see is the ball trickling into the back of our net. Now, what I haven't seen is the build-up, and I haven't seen that until today. Now, I heard the commentary saying it was pretty bad, but I didn't honestly believe how bad it was until I saw it today, and it was just schoolboy stuff. I mean, even I know that if you've left one man up front, it takes two defenders, one running for one behind.
Yeah.
But the second goal, because the way the camera angle was, it looked like three of them had gone over, and then when it was squared, and there's like two, three men, where's everybody else? And it was just like watching kids in a school ground getting drawn towards the ball. This is just fundamental stuff. We're playing Premier. This is Champions League football. I just couldn't get my head around it. And it's been interesting listening to you guys that saw it more as well, but. And this is where it comes down to the consistency. We'll blow a team away one week and then we'll look like complete and utter amateurs the next. And without labouring the point again, this is where I feel sorry for Ollie, because we're not getting the consistency in the players. We're not getting the consistency in the coaching. Because one week he'll make some fantastic manoeuvres and some fantastic subs. But as Ben said, when you're 1-0 down at home at Chelsea and you don't put your most creative player on the pitch in Mata, who've done really, really well in games up till then, I just can't fathom that out.
Well, I didn't understand against Arsenal the negative substitutions as well. To not think, you know, even at 0-0, you need wins, Ollie. You need Coggy. And then go to Nick, positivity.
I mean, don't feel sorry for Ollie, because, you know, he's there to make tough decisions and, you know, he's trying to somehow fit Pogba into every team, but whether he comes off the bench or, you know, starts. And that is one of the fundamental problems that we've got. Listen, I've been engrossed with the US elections for the last 3 months.
Don't.
And Biden looks like he's going to win. So don't. Can I just say,
Coggy,
the world is looking a slightly better place.
Don't, Coggy, I don't know what's more baffling, that and all the rules around it. And it's taken them this long. Fucking hell, I think us lot could count pissed quicker than some of those places. But Nick,
I've been following this. I understand all the reasons now, and I'm into it. You know, the next thing will happen.
Watch.
I'll be watching American football.
Get Coggy.
Going. Tampa Bay. Coggy. Tampa Bay.
Turn the channel over to Babe
That's
Station.
Not shout, Coggy. I can see
Chance. Okay.
Coggy, turn the station over to Babe Station. But quick, go on, Jav, and then I'll go to Nick.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt. I've read a quote today from Ollie, and I don't know if this is right, and I don't know if you guys have seen it at all, but I think it was after the match, and he said, "The team are performing at their best. It's my job to make the team play their best, and I'm not performing at my best to make the team play the best." Has anybody else heard of
that? I've not. But to be fair, I've been that pissed off. I've switched off from all quotes at the moment. I've been that gutted about it. Because I saw that also, I don't know if it was true, that he'd said on Sunday that, you know, we've got same points as last season, but we didn't win for a few last season. I was like, God, we're in Moyes territory again. But we were saying that 3 months ago. I was laughing, Jev, when you were describing their goal last night, and it was almost like, if I don't laugh, I will fucking cry my eyes out. Nick, you're the youngest with Ben here. I'm taking it to, I'm being deadly serious here, trying to give my head a wobble. I'm taking this too seriously at the moment. So how do we get out of that? You know,
well, I mean, a lot of people, the simplest explanation people would say, obviously, get rid of the manager. But
I still personally believe that you can put anyone in the world in that position, and I don't think that it's set up for them to succeed. I really wholeheartedly believe that. You know, you look at Klopp, who's arguably the best manager in the world at the moment, or Pep or someone like that. I don't think they'd win us a league. I think, yeah, they'd improve and they'd make the players play better, but I still don't think we're in a setup of where they are in a way to succeed. You know, you look at what City did and built the whole thing around Pep. You know, you look at Liverpool, they got to the Champions League final and, you know, we turned around to the board and said, I need a goalkeeper. I can't carry on with this joker, this German in net here. I need a better keeper. They went out and bought Alisson, who was one of the best keepers in the world at the time. He's now going to be the best keeper. You know, it's that kind of, you know, preparedness and how well they're set up for it. You know, that's basically what I'm saying is what Shane was alluding to before, is that, you know, as soon as you can sort that out, we can start to pull forward. But if their aim, again, not to reiterate what you just said, is that if their aim is to get us into the top four, then there's no way out of it.
Yeah, but also, Nick, I would say, I agree with that, but in mitigation, I will say a coach, when I'm worried and when I fear for Ollie and when I think I'm almost turning again, that a good coach can coach better. And I would say, this isn't comparing, but how confidence can affect a side. It's often forgotten in the season, the Van Persie season where he won the league, he scored 23 goals in the first 33 games. And then he went 10 games without. And actually, Fergie had to defend playing him, I think it was around February, before he went on the run again, by saying, you know, he's out of thing, but he will get the goals. But you can afford to do that with one player playing badly like that. But when you've got six or seven, a better coach could be doing better with what he has. And Ollie wanted Sancho. And, you know, obviously the briefing when Fjortoff was saying today, you know, Sancho, we didn't need Sancho. This is what I've maintained all along. We needed a central defender. Ollie, if Ollie wasn't seeing that, whether Woodward would have then gone for it and fucked it up. But if you didn't not know after seeing last season that we needed a central defender. Shane?
Yeah, I can just reiterate, you know, what I said before and what Nick just said, that you know, another manager might be able to, for a while, get more out of the resources. You know, United are better than last night and they're better than the league position. This squad is better than that. So there is an issue there where you can question Ole, but at the end of the day, you need owners and boards that's fully aligned with a kind of with a goal, a project, whatever you want to call it these days. And you know, Liverpool had it, he was backed by Broad City, the same. And I think it's, you know, you look at what's gone before Ole, Van Gaal was kind of doing okay. We were kind of praising the football for a little spell. Then we had that Leicester game and he got the lack of trust in the players and he reverted to kind of a defensive type. Mourinho started off positively, then didn't trust the players, went to a defensive type. Ole's clearly, whether he doesn't trust the players or he's just shitting himself with losing, he's gone to a very cautious approach. So it's not as though Ole's the first one that this has happened to. We've seen it with two previous experienced managers. So I think this...
But Shane, know, we all look...
Random signings thrown together and then a manager's got to try. But so a manager could get more out of it, but it's only temporary.
But we'd all agree with that, Shane. But then what do we do? And again, as I've said, knowing, you know, whether the Glazer, you know, the Glazer issue, boycott for a year, well, they're not getting our money for 15 months, maybe longer. What do we do when we're this passionate about it, but knowing it's screwed? Do we almost just lower our expectations now? Because if we're just going to dance this dance, seriously, what do we do?
Well, we've said before, like, and it sounds, I don't want to be too gloomy about it, that we can be better than we are now. But, you know, if our strategy is just to finish fourth, the chances are you might fluke the league, but you'd be very lucky to. And that's the problem. It's systemic. So I think, you know, let's take the scenario that Pochettino does come in. If we were positive, you've got to then say, this is for the long haul. And what's your plan? What's your... But do we trust Ed?
No.
Understand
no, but...
They were talking about a cultural reboot. You know, they were talking that this is the long... But Shane, saying all that and positivity, what did you do yesterday?
Me?
You booked Istanbul hotels.
I did book in Istanbul, yeah. You got to have... Well, just in case. Yeah, I did book... In fact, they emailed me tonight and then I started crapping myself because they sent me this lovely email saying they're so chuffed that they got a booking and they're going to lay on transport and everything. I did have the heart to tell him, like, you know, like,
I'm surprised the email didn't say, "Are you sure you still want to book?"
The license to get a book in, they're laying on a car and everything, and I was like, "Oh, geez."
Well, they saw our defence and just thought, please.
I agree with what everybody's saying about Woodward and the Glazers, and we've got that. Whatever we discuss, they're here, and there's nothing we can do about them, and their priority is not football. But as Lady S said on Twitter today, sometimes you've got to stop blaming the ingredients and blame the chef. So maybe we're working within the constraints of the Glazers, but maybe Solskjaer is not the person that can get the best out of the current squad, and somebody else is. I don't know, you know, but if we want to have inconsistency and you know, maybe we stay with Solskjaer, but is there somebody better out there that can get more out of these players? I don't know.
Ben?
I think there is. I think there's definitely someone who can get more out of them. It's just, can you get them from third to second and break into that top two with City and Liverpool? And the answer is no. I don't think there is anybody out there that can get you into that top two.
I'm not convinced about that, Nick. I mean, I take, as Coggy said, all the points have been made stand, but, you know, I think we've got to stop letting the sentiment blind us with Solskjaer. I mean, the reality is, I don't think he's up to the job. He would never have got the job without his history with the club, and nor would any other top club in the world have given him that job. And, you know, he earned his crack at it with that few months when he was in temporary charge. But, you know, I think it's 2 years now since he first took over. It's 2 years. And as we said before, there's been no progress. And the inconsistency, really, I think, is what's going to do for him in the end. You know, he has had good moments. And he's had good personal moments. Like, you look at City away last season. I think Chelsea away in the Cup in the first season. Paris away twice. You know, on occasion he can do it. He can get the tactics.
But that
right
was 2 weeks ago, Ben. That was only.
But the problem is, we've got to aspire at least to higher standards, haven't we? And you can't just be producing that every so often and then going on a bad run again.
Yeah.
There's got to be some consistency. And there are, in answer to the question, there are better managers out there. I think Pochettino is one, but there's others.
We might not play well, but I would say, Ben, though, that a little bit of my heart, and this says obviously it is a heart overhead, but a little bit of my heart would break when it happens, because it'll just be a little chink of, I don't know, like I said before, we're just another club, you know, we're just turning into.
But you know what, I think this sort of obsession with the past is hitting us as well now, that we do things differently and, you know, we keep it in-house and the class of 92 and all this. I think we just need to move beyond that.
All this longevity, we'll be on the fourth manager in 7 years, you know, including, you know, Jav?
Yes, mate?
Yeah, what, so, Pochettino?
Well, for me, yes. I've got a massive track record of winning things, but certainly we played at Tottenham. I thought he did really, really well with Tottenham. And I think he's got a habit of getting the best out of players, which is certainly what we need. But we do need that consistency. One question I'd put to everybody, because obviously I think we've all got a soft spot in our heart for Ollie, and when he does go, it'll break our hearts. If they do bring Pochettino in, do you think there's any merit at all in moving Ollie upstairs, director of football?
No. And I tell you why, because, a director of football is as much a businessman as they are as knowledgeable on football. And, you know, where have we seen anything of Ollie that's as a businessman? So I can see an argument for Van der Sar, but I can't see an argument for Ollie at all. I just think
I'd probably clutch in at straws for Coggy, because I just don't want
him. And I understand that, but no, you know, and if I was Ollie, I would want to move upstairs personally. No. I want to move out of the club, you know, but no, I don't think he's the right person at all.
What I'd like I'd like to see him grow a pair, though, because other managers, you know, with their contracts, I get money and all that, but they'll shit on him. You know, there'll be a jointly released statement, you know, he's taken us and Ollie said this, and he shouldn't, because if he's had to put up with shit, then I want to finally hear someone fucking tell us.
Yeah,
Yeah. You know, because they would have hung him up to dry, you know, would promise you a long-term project. And if they betray him, whether there's a reason for it or not, I want to hear someone come out fighting at last. Sorry, Ben.
I was just going to go back to the director of football point. I mean, I think I kind of, I think he would have been good in that role, personally. I think, you know, in terms of setting some of the ethos around the club, I think he's done well in improving the culture. I think his recruitment has actually been, on the whole, very good. As somebody said earlier, the squad is in a much better position. If this is nearly the end for Ollie, and obviously we don't know for sure, but I think whoever comes in is going to inherit a better playing squad than he did. So I think he could have been good at that role, but I think really it would be a bit of a demotion, really, wouldn't it? It would be you failed as the manager, and therefore we're going to try, you know, we're going to move upstairs. And I'd be like Coggio, if I was offered that as him, I'd say, you know, you can stick it, really. So I don't think it's a realistic option for him. But, you know, maybe in hindsight, that might have been a better role for him in the first place.
Nick, you were so, you know, you've been as emotionally attached to all this, Ollie, as anyone. And for you to not say when I said bring some positives to the party, that's sad, and that's damning. That if you're losing faith,
I think the thing is, though, I mean, don't get me wrong, I think I love Ollie more than anyone, but you know,
I didn't text him last night, by the way.
You can't defend it, can you? Really, at the moment, you know, you look at the performances and the results, and you think, you know, as Ben just said then, he's been here for 2 years in December, and I think this is kind of what we are, you know. We keep saying, well, if he gets this, he'll get better. If he gets Sancho, if he gets that centre-half, we'll be better. Point is, he's not got it, and he isn't going to get it.
Yeah,
and,
but
you know, Pochettino's going to make the team better, he'll make the players better, he will do. But I still stand by the fact that he won't get us into the top two, because he still won't get supported. Yeah. You know, if Mourinho wasn't supported, then why do people suddenly think that Pochettino's going to get supported?
No, I get that.
Absolutely. Daft if you think that's
and how does Pochettino?
He'll get us to third at best.
Yeah.
He'll go through this revolving door. He'll finish fifth or sixth. Everyone will start calling for his head. It's just what happens at this football club, because Busby and Fergie are the only ones that have really had any long term support in their role, because we are a sacking club.
But I would say,
so
Nick,
I don't
though,
see why it's different with Pochettino. I don't see why it would be.
Well, it won't be.
No, it won't be. But part of Woodward's failure has been the recruitment of managers as well, hasn't it? You know, to be Van Gaal was not the right appointment at the right time. Mourinho, I think it was almost too easy to say he'll come in and sort it out, and he wasn't right. And really, you know, Solskjaer was just an easy, it's not going to cost us a lot and it'll keep the fans happy. So, you know, part of it is, you know, the first thing before you even talk about backing the manager is getting the right manager or coaching in the first place. And he's failed at least four times on that now.
I still think that Mourinho was still the right call to make. I mean, we're saying that in hindsight. He won the last two trophies at the club 3 years ago. You know,
We had to try it.
I think you had to try that. You couldn't not with his track record and what he's done at all the other football clubs he's been at. You have to give that a go. Okay, it didn't work out. I don't know how much necessarily you could put in all that on Woodward. There's got to be a certain element on Jose as well when he starts falling out with players and things as well. He could have made it a bit more. He could make it a bit more tenable for everyone that was there. But I don't see what Pochettino brings. And I think, I'm not saying don't give him a go. I'm not anti-Poch or anything like that. I'm just saying that, again, it doesn't matter who is in that role. It is set up for failure. So I don't see why changing the manager. You get that finishing the league, might give us a bit of a... But it's not going to get you higher than third, and that's where Ollie's taking the squad. That's where it sits right now until you bring in Sancho, until you bring in a centre-half that can do something, maybe even two centre-halves.
But I think he got us to third last season. Is he going to get us to third this season? I know we're in only seven games into the season or something like that. But as it stands at the moment, finishing in the top four looks pretty unlikely.
We said that last year, though. We never thought we'd finish third, would we, before lockdown and stuff. And you go on this amazing run through it. It's just what happened.
Yeah, I know.
Because this is the team that we are.
But Nick, what we did say was you cannot keep getting away with that. That eventually one of the slips will become a bigger slip. But the thing is, we all agree, I'd imagine, on this. One of these managers is going to have to get a grip of the problem. And we know how most people would, I think, apart from the real ones who love him, know how that ends. Someone's got to grip, you know. I don't think it's a coincidence. We were playing very well, and then we accommodated Pogba back into the side because he's world class. Yeah, we know he is, in theory, on pieces of paper, world class. But if you change it all to a winning side for someone who consistently doesn't do it for us, and who consistently lacks, you know, the determination to succeed at this club, then if Pochettino gets, I don't know, I'm just fucking
trying. I totally agree. If his name wasn't Paul Pogba, if he didn't have a World Cup winner's medal, and he did cost £80 million, filing under Tom Cleverley for me, is that affecting for the club? But the thing you talk about, I'm kind of, there's no post, like, if you look at, I'm with Ben, if you look at Ed, this will be, you know, the only thing that might save Ollie or buy Ollie some time is Ed not wanting to concede that he's made fuck-ups. That might work in all his favour, but four big mistakes, he's got, you know, on the footballing side, that's his biggest job, really, is to hire a manager and then work with that manager on, you know, direction, signings, etc. And he's failed four times, if Ollie goes. And you kind of, you know, what puts you any trust that he's going to have the right conversation or the right recruitment for the next manager? You'd have thought something like Man United would be having conversations with a few managers to work out who's got the best fit. And maybe an honest conversation behind the scenes saying, this is the card you've got. How would you deal with those? You know, whereas Ed's just picking up a name, isn't he? You know, Pochettino would just be a name that's well known. He would see it as a bit of a coup to get. But also,
Shane, let's be honest that, you know, however much it makes us me sick in the throat, but Woodward approached Klopp, talked of United being Disneyland, and Klopp eventually turned us down or didn't want to commit. So there are probably other managers who go, steer clear of United, however sad that sounds, steer clear of United, it's fucking poison.
It's a basket case, and you don't have to be, like, not being funny, if you know, I know we're emotionally tied to the club, with big supporters, etc. But, you know, we're just laymen. You know, managers that are in the business know that Man United is a basket case. Some of them will be tempted by the lure. It's Man United. It's still a big, you know, biggest, one of the biggest clubs in the world, etc. Some won't be able to resist that. But if you were Pochettino, you'd want to seriously sit down and say, this is my project. This is my approach. Are you going to back me? And suss out whether Ed really knows what he's talking about. And he doesn't, does he? It's as obvious as a day is long. It's a market case. Who would want to take on Man United?
Look, Ed's no mug. If Pochettino sat down with me or Ed and said, this is what I want, this is what I, you know, do you buy into it? And Ed wants the bloke, he'll say, yes. Yes, he's got the contract. He'll fuck him off. You know.
I'm
sure he did exactly the same with Mourinho. Mourinho did it and told him what he wanted, and I'm sure he signed on the dotted line. And then come that second season or third season or whatever it is, it all went fucking pear-shaped in it. Fucking had enough.
But that's why we see them.
If I was the top manager, United came to me, I'd say, yes, give me a 4-year contract, knowing full well after 2 years I'd get sacked and have 2 years severance pay.
But Coggy, this goes to the correlation. If when we miss out on the Champions League, you know, we spend money. We back the manager in the first season. We don't in the second. I would say on Jose's thing, I will admit that he probably had it right, that he needed to control Luke Shaw with a lead on his touchline to get the best out of him, because it's the only way to get the best out of him.
Jose was right about Shaw, and he was right about Pogba. You know.
And he was right about Woodward. I mean, Jose was right about a lot of things, in fairness. I think almost everything he complained about was valid, but it was ultimately the way he went about it was untenable, wasn't it? You can't behave like he did, and he just alienated everybody. So
it made me laugh that Tom McDermott saying that, you know, the briefings are, they're backing Ollie for, you know, he can turn it around with results. And I thought, well, they lied to Van Gaal on the eve of cup final, and his missus found out through the lift with Ed Woodward's family. I will say, we're going to come to the end soon, so I'll go to each of you for final thoughts. But I will say, obviously, you can tell that I've been a bit down in the dumps. But what I'm trying to do is, the outside world is shit. I'm not trying to be fucking, not Maureen Lipman. What was the agony aunt in the Daily Mirror?
Deirdre.
No, not did. That's the Sun kinky one, isn't it? Or is that the other one? But, you know, the outside world's shit. So I'm trying to think, the only way I can deal with it is, what can I influence? And that's my own four walls, you know, indoors. I can't influence how long a lockdown's going to be, how long United we're not going to be there for. So I'm trying to make myself think, what can I actually influence? And that's making me feel a little bit better. You know, because I know a lot of people are suffering at the moment. So just try keep saying it, but just try and get through it, everyone listening, please. Right, so I'm going to go final thoughts, tell some jokes, fucking play a banjo, someone do something. Nick?
I think in summary, I think I'd just say, you know, just mentioned it before, not to backtrack too much, but when you were saying about the Leipzig game, I think it did flatter us. I mean, the defending in the Bundesliga is awful at the best of times anyway, so it didn't massively surprise me that once you score one, the floodgates open. I think that we have improved. I still think we have improved under Ole, but I think everyone else has improved as well, and that's the problem, I think, the way we suffer from. I still think keep the faith, and I still think we'll beat Everton on Saturday lunchtime, because I think when all these backups up against it, it will deliver a result. So, you know, if you're a betting man, get yourself a tenner on Man United and make yourself some money and get your beers paid for Saturday evening.
That's the Nick. Come on. Give that fucking team talk Saturday.
I still think we'll win on Saturday. I'm still confident about that.
Right, then I'm going to go to...
timing to get rid of him if he does get beat. You've got the international break for a new manager to bed in, so there is that kind of...
But what, so Nick, so I'll go to all of you, but I'm going to ask this at the end of each bit. Nick, will he be manager by the next podcast in two or three weeks' time?
Yes.
Shane?
What do you say? I was just reflecting that actually the last away game, just during this podcast, I realised the last away game I went to was Everton last season, which was in March. I know we played them. And so the fact that we're playing them again has just hit home, the fact that, you know, it's been a long time since I've seen United live. I don't share, I don't know what we're going to do on Saturday. It's a basket case. I do know that, you know, I'm quite, you know, talking about people getting down, and I know it's tough for people. I'm very lucky, I think, to work from home, got, you know, me and my family, it's good. But I got a fucking slot at the rubbish dump tomorrow. To drop in there. And people, I was telling sort of like a friend, and everyone's like saying, oh, you lucky bastard. It's like, getting a slot at the rubbish tip has become like a pride fucking thing. And I'm thinking, what? This can't be. This is as good as it gets. I've got like the rubbish dump. Yeah, I've got a slot. You haven't. Fuck off. You know? And it's like kind of that's about as good as it gets. I've booked a day off work to go to the rubbish tip. And people are jealous that I've got that slot. You know, I'm like, fuck's sake. Surely it can't go on like this. This is not. So I think, yeah, who knows what we're going to do on Saturday. But yeah, keep the faith. I think Ole, I'd love to see him. I'd love to see him given time. I'm with Nick. I think another manager could temporarily do better, but ultimately they couldn't get better than third. So I'd rather see them stick with Ole. I fear for him, and I think there's a good chance he could be gone by the time we have another one of these.
Ben?
Yeah, well, I'll answer that question first off. I think he will be gone by the time we next do one of these. And I think he'll definitely be gone by Christmas if he's not gone by the next podcast. I can't see us winning myself on Saturday, but I take the point, you know, who knows, because we are so inconsistent, as we've discussed, and I think Everton have depth, so it's possible, but my money would be that we will lose on Saturday. And if you look at the couple of, not Van Gaal, but Mourinho went after a defeat at Anfield, Moyes went after a defeat at Goodison, so I think Merseyside has become a bit of a graveyard for Manchester United managers since Ferguson, and I think Ollie might be the next one on that list.
Jav?
Quick question, when do we play City?
December the 12th, is it? I think that's off my top of my head. I've lost track of games during all this. Right, sorry, Jeff.
I think there's your benchmark. Right. I think what might go on over the next 2 or 3 weeks, see how we got on in Europe. But I think if we're not doing well and then we lose to City, then I think it'll be fine and early. But I could be wrong. I think we'll win on at the weekend. I cannot give you any fucking rational explanation as to why I think that, other than it's a crazy mixed up fucking world that we live in, and when you just see him at your lowest ebb, he pulls a fucking rabbit out of the hat. And I just feel there's a rabbit on the edge of the fucking hat. And it'll make no sense to me, but if I was a betting man, I'd have a fiver on United winning Saturday for no other fucking same reason than it's just irrational.
And United should be. And Shane's doing a long, long missed Ollie fist pump in there in the background. Right, Coggy?
I'm so fucking jealous about Shane having that booking at the refuge.
He's wrecked my night. Coggy. Shane's wrecked my night telling me that. You tease.
Can't you?
Refuse, Tib. I'm not going to
refuse. Okay,
Coggy. Yeah, Coggy, can't you grass up your scouse neighbour again, please? Cheer us all up.
I might do.
Say he's having a party.
Listen, I don't know about Ollie, and I don't know about Saturday. It can go one or two ways, basically. I'm not confident about Ollie being in a job on Sunday. I'm not confident about us beating Everton, but who knows? Anything can happen. What I would say is that I walked out of Anfield about 28 years ago thinking I'd never see United win the league, and since then I've seen us win fucking everything, so I can still die happy that I've seen United win everything.
I know, and I always agree with that. But also it's time, you know, you pass the baton on to the youngsters, so they've got to be hungry and they've got to be demanding. And I do keep saying to fucking make everyone miserable again, you know, if the club treat us like shit and the deal with the devil is they do all these deals and they whore the United's name out, then the least we can expect is these people taking millions out of the club to do their jobs, and they just don't. I think I can't see us winning Saturday. I just got too much travel. We're not good after Europe at the best of times. Early kickoff. Everton up for it. You never know. When we doubt Ollie, he turns it around, but I'm just sad. Sadness in general. What's that American Pie, you know? I met a girl who sang the blues. I've said it before. I asked her for some happy news. Fucking we need a bit of United happiness at the moment. Right. Take care, lads. Sorry, people. I should have fucking withdrawn myself on this, but we'll be all right. Bounce back. United have come through much worse. Let's fuck them. Fuck them all. Cheers, lads. Take care, everyone. See you later. Yeah. And take care, everyone listening.
Support this podcast at patreon.com/rednews.